Good morning. Welcome. Good to see everybody here. I am always happy to see you here. That's always the case. It is just a little bit more special for me this morning to see you here because it means I did not get you sick, and I'm thankful for that. I'm very sorry. Last week I came down with strep, and I was exceedingly contagious when I was here last Sunday, and I just didn't know it. Nobody has told me, and I assumed you would call me and tell me, Jared, this is miserable and I don't like you. And I'm just glad that didn't happen. I would encourage you to take out a Bible and follow along. Let's take a little bit of time. I don't intend to spend a great deal of time this morning, but take a little bit of time and consider a message from God's Word. As we continue our theme for the year, of course, is being rejoice in the Lord. And what we've looked at so far is we really looked at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, where it says, first of all, rejoice. And what we've observed is it's God's desire for us to be a joyful people. Not a miserable, constantly upset and complaining people, but a joyful people. Now, we talked about the fact that there's context to that. He's not saying be happy no matter what you're doing, that we're supposed to be joyful in our sins. No, then you're supposed to be miserable and mourn. But what God wants, righteous people, the people that are in a right relationship with Him, He wants us to be a joyful people. And He wants us to then rejoice in the Lord. It is that relationship with Jesus that can give us joy in all circumstances. And that leads us to the next word there, which was rejoice in the Lord always. And that's when it gets challenging. To have joy on those days when you are miserable. To have joys when things are just falling apart around you. But it's because you have that relationship in Jesus. As long as you maintain that relationship in Jesus, you ought to have cause for joy and make the choice of joy. And that's your foundation for the whole year. But on top of that joy, we add other joys. For example, we looked at last month, rejoicing with others. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And so there's a part of us that's supposed to be cheerful, not because of what's going on in our lives, but because of what's going on in other people's lives. When other people are blessed, we're supposed to rejoice. When other people are righteous, we're supposed to rejoice. And if that is the truth, and it is a command from God, how much more so within the family should we be filled with joy? And that is what we're going to look at this morning. Rejoicing in the Lord, and that is finding joy at home. This will be a study in Proverbs. When the elders were suggesting this topic for the year, there was a search that was made through scriptures to see if this was a subject that could be sustained through 12 months. And one of the things that came up is in Proverbs, it starts talking about this idea of joy in the home. And so we're going to turn our attention to Proverbs this morning. We had read for us 1 Kings chapter 4, and it talks about Solomon. Solomon is given timeless wisdom from God. Yes, Proverbs is in the Old Testament, but man has not changed and the wisdom has not changed. And so this wisdom applied then and it applies just as much to us today. And so he says at the end of 1 Kings chapter 4 that the kings were sending people from all around the earth were coming to listen to Solomon. Let us do the same. Let us come to Solomon and hear what he has to say from God about family and joy. And so let's turn to the start in Proverbs 24. Okay, nothing said there was right except for Proverbs. Proverbs 23, let's turn there and start in verses 24 and 25. Proverbs 23, start in verse 24. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. And he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. And so he here looks at the parent-child relationship, says it's supposed to be one of joy. And up earlier in verse 15 through 16, he says, my son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad, and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. In Proverbs 5 and verse 18, a different relationship. And that last line, the second line there, says, rejoice in the wife of your youth. And now it is the marriage relationship. And that's supposed to be a relationship of joy. And then examples of this in Proverbs 31 and verse 11. While it doesn't use the word joy or gladness or rejoicing, I think it depicts a picture of it. In the midst of the worthy woman, I think there's a man who is filled with joy. Verse 11, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Or down in verse 28, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. This is a picture that Solomon is giving us, saying, you want joy, look at home. Home should be a place of comfort and trust, a place where we praise one another, a place where we have great joy. It's the way it should be. It's the way God wants it to be. Of course, you and I know that's not always the way it is. Sometimes home is the place where people don't want to be. It's the place they're trying to avoid because it's a place filled with pain and agony and arguing. And Solomon is not immune to that. He's aware of that. He recognizes that children don't always bring joy. They should bring us joy, but children can sometimes bring us the deepest of wounds. And so Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Or Proverbs 15 and verse 20, and you're going to see this just kind of be the theme. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. I'd like to stop and notice something there. He didn't say a foolish child. We think of this, all these commands and instructions there towards kids, you know, the kids, definitely, this is part of your responsibility, part of what you can do, but it's also to adults. I assure you that my mom is still paying attention to what I'm doing. I mean, she comes to my softball games, come on. She's paying attention. And I can bring her joy, or I can bring her grief. In Proverbs 17, in verse 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. And then finally, 29 in verse 3. I mean, multiple times, Solomon, in all of his wisdom, points this out. A man who loves wisdom makes his father glad, but he who keeps company with harlots wastes his wealth, which again gives us an age. It's not always just little kids we're talking about. So children don't always bring their family joy. Seen that, I'm sure you have too, where you know of parents that are just dying on the inside. They can't sleep, and it's all because of their kids. And this is the one passage outside of Proverbs, but sometimes it works the other way. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, that fathers, do not exasperate your children, do not bring them to wrath. And so it can work that way as well, where parents, you can make your kids' lives miserable and make it to where there's no joy at home for them. And then the Solomon, he had a few things to say about wives. I think there's a reason for it. He had, what was it, 1,000? 700 wives, 300 concubines. Horrible mistake. True on so many levels. And then he observes this. He observes that wives can be a real pain. Wives can really make home life miserable. I'm not going to make you turn to all of these. I'll just read them to you. Starting in Proverbs 12, verse 4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is like rottenness in his bones. The contentions of a wife are a constant dripping. It is better to live in a corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. It is better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. It is better to live in a corner of the roof than in a house of a shared and a contentious woman. A constant dripping on a day of steady rain and a contentious woman are alike. And so we get this. Family should be a place of joy. Family can be a place of absolute misery. Which one do you prefer? I mean, that's like the most obvious question, isn't it? So how do we find joy at home? How do we make our homes a place of joy and rejoicing rather than fighting and bickering and pain and misery? I want to suggest three things, and then this lesson will be yours, and we're not going to spend a great deal of time on any one of these. But the first one is appreciate what you have. So I want you to go back to Proverbs chapter. This whole proverb, this whole chapter, is written to a man, and the instructions to him really are, don't commit adultery. I mean, that's really what it is. This whole chapter is, don't you fall for that adulterous woman. You're going to regret it if you fall for that adulterous woman. And in the context, he says, rejoice in the wife of your youth, in verse 18. And really what he is saying is, appreciate what you have at home. Don't be looking at what you don't have. Don't be looking outside at these other women, these enticing women. You rejoice. You be thrilled with what you have at home. You wanna have joy at home? Spend more time thinking about what brings you joy at home. What I mean by that is let me reverse it. If you want to be miserable, if you've just decided, I really like misery, here's what you do. Think about everything that bugs you about your spouse. And think about it again and again and again and again. And you know what you're going to find? More things that bug you about your spouse. And it'll keep adding up. You want to be upset with your parents? Keep thinking about all those mean, nasty rules they have. Think about how restrictive they are. And you keep thinking about those things, and you will find that it gets worse and worse and worse. But if you want to find joy, think about what brings you joy in your spouse. There was something that brought you two together, something wonderful, and it was in the early stages, it was intoxicating. In fact, if you look at Proverbs chapter 5, I want you to consider, in verse 18, he says, rejoice in the wife of your youth. What an interesting thing for him to say. And then in verse 19, at the very end, in verse 19, he says, be exhilarated always with her love. Be exhilarated, intoxicated. It's like what you had at the beginning, don't lose it. Don't forget it, and don't let it die. And I want you to notice that this is a choice. It's not about it being easy, being natural. It's about choosing to rejoice in the wife of your youth. Notice he does not say rejoice in the youthful wife. It's not be happy that she's young because one day she's going to get old and you're going to regret that. That's not what he says. He says, rejoice in the wife of your youth. That means go back no matter how long you've been married to her. She's still that wife. She's still that woman. Remember who she was. Remember what you had and hold on to it. Dream about those times. Appreciate what you have because others do not have it. You have children that are bringing you all sorts of pain and agony, but you go talk to those parents who their children have moved on, they'd trade places with you. I mean, I've seen where they didn't take advantage of the time. They didn't realize how quickly it was going away. Appreciate what you have, even when it is difficult, even when it is challenging. Find those moments of joy within it. Find those moments of cheerfulness and cling to them. I'm not saying ignore the pain or ignore the problems or ignore the fights. I'm saying deal with the fights, but don't focus on them. Unless, of course, you like being miserable, in which case focus on them and you will destroy your family. So appreciate what you have first. Secondly, bring joy into the home. Remember, one of the things I said last month when it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. It's not all about you. It's not about how you felt this morning. It's not about how what happened to you today. It's about what's going on in other people's lives. When you want to find joy in the home, it's not all about you feeling joy. It's about what you bring to the family. So if you look back in Proverbs 23, I was thinking about this. 23 verses 24 and 25. This is where we started this morning. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Why is he telling that? Is it just some fact? Hey, you want to know what? Parents that have good kids are happier. Just thought I'd share that and go on to the next fact. That's not Proverbs. Proverbs is bits of wisdom, things to help us. And so he has just told us about this wisdom that says, wise children have happy parents. Do something about it. But what's he telling them to do? Be wise. Make your parents filled with joy. And if we approached our families with that attitude, I'm going to bring joy to this family. Proverbs 31 and verse 28. And the proverb regarding the worthy woman. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her. It's there bringing her joy. There's some woman on Netflix. Bonnie has watched the show. I have not watched much of it. It's about cleaning, and I'm an expert. Okay, I probably should watch the show, but it's about this woman who goes into other people's homes and tells them how to clean their home. By the way, I could do that job. I could go into your homes and tell you how to clean it. My house is harder. But anyway, she's going into their home. She's telling them how to clean it, but here's her rule. Take the things that you have and ask yourself, does it bring you joy? All right? And she says, if it doesn't bring you joy, say thank you for the things you've done for me in the past and get rid of it. What if you were an object in your house? And your parents, or your children, or your spouse was looking at you and they asked the question, does this bring me joy? What would the answer be? You see, we can look at it and we can say, oh, stuff that I do for the family, I clean it. I serve, and those things are fantastic, and they're wonderful, and they should be noticed, and they should be appreciated. But this is something beyond that. This is, do you bring joy to your spouse? Do you bring joy to your children? Children, do you bring joy to your parents? And I'll tell you something. I think if everybody in the household was asking that question of themselves and living their life, to the people around them, do you suppose our families would get better or worse? I think I know the answer to this question. And I think you do too. And I don't think we have to be Solomon to figure it out. But Solomon is telling you, you can impact the joy of the people around you. What are you going to do about it? What a great way to spend our week. If husbands, before you come home, the first thought is not, I can't wait to get on the couch and get my shoes off and get served. That doesn't work that way at my house, by the way. But if the first thought was, how can I make my wife's day today? And wouldn't it be great if the wife was thinking, how can I make my husband's day today? And if we could just get beyond just, I've got to survive, and I've got to clean, and I've got to cook. Put a little smiley face on the grilled cheese sandwich and make a difference in your kid's day. Bring joy. And kids, figure out how to bring joy to your parents. I'll give you a hint. Clean your room. A lot of other things you could do. Obedience really helps. Don't fight. These things bring joy to your parents. All right, so three things about finding joy in your home. First one, appreciate what you have. Second, bring joy into the home. Third, make your family better. Now, this is one you can't do at all times and all circumstances, but let's say you're not married. You want to know how to have joy at home? Marry somebody who's worth marrying. This is going to be one of the biggest impacts on your daily life, on the length of your life, on your health. Marry somebody who's worth marrying. And I'll give you a hint, it's not the cutest person. It's not the person who makes your heart jitter. That's cheap. You have so many hormones going through your body when you're a teenager, your heart jitters at anything. Find somebody who's worthy. Look what it said in the worthy woman. Proverbs 31, verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? He's challenging you, husbands. Want to be husbands. He's challenging you to find someone. Not just the next woman along, but make a smart choice. Look for somebody who's worth it. Somebody who's going to help you spiritually, somebody who's going to make your life a better life, not somebody who makes you feel really great right now. Think bigger. And of course, that works in reverse. Wives, you want to be this worthy woman, and I think so many women are incredible women who are just incredibly talented and worthy, I'll tell you, there's so many times I've looked at it and said, the guys are idiots for letting you go. I don't know what they were thinking, but don't just take the next guy then if you're worthy. If you're a worthy woman, you're worthy of a good husband. That's going to be your first thing. All right, but we don't all get to choose. We're already married, right? So now we're trying to make that relationship better, but make your children better. Focus on the things that matter, and it's not quiet time. It's not just get your kids to be quiet for a little while and then you don't have a headache now for a moment and now your life is better. That is a life that will ultimately lead to pain and sorrow. It's not about just keeping your kids out of sight. It's not just about keeping your kids quiet. It's about teaching your kids wisdom, to love wisdom. That's what you've said over and over again. This is what's going to make a child bring their parents joy, and that is if they are wise and if they love wisdom. And I want you to consider this is being written by Solomon, whose son is going to become king. We might think, okay, I'm going to help my child become something great. He is going to become a scientist or a doctor, or he's going to become president of the United States or something, I don't know, bigger than that. We're going to always think big, 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 big. His son's going to be king. That's not what matters. What matters is he going to be wise? Because if your child is wise, he will succeed or she will succeed in whatever they do. But if they aim for the stars and reach them as fools, they will fail and you will be filled with misery. So make your family better. When you're bringing up your kids, focus on the things that matter. This is what the book of Proverbs is teaching us. It's teaching us to focus on wisdom. Well, I hope that helps. I hope that we'll consider, okay, I want to rejoice always. Great. Let's start at home. Let's consider what relationships we have. Let's take advantage of them. Let's appreciate them. And let's see what we can bring to our families. Let us be those who bring joy into home rather than those who sap it out of it. I appreciate your time and your attention. Of course, these things are minor. If you are just incredibly happy at home, it won't do you any good on the day of judgment. On the day of judgment, if you have had the most amazing life, but you're now going to spend an eternity in hell, you are going to think you wasted your life, and you'll be right. And so we encourage you at this time to really get your life focused on what matters and to follow God. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that God sent Jesus on this earth for your sake, if you believe he is King, he is Lord, he is the one who makes the rules, and you're willing to follow them, if you're willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith, then why not be baptized into Jesus this morning and begin the family relationship that really matters? And by the way, that will bring true eternal joy. Won't you come now as we stand and as we sing?